This is Rod Peterson on demand. No!
Waiting in line to pay for my groceries, and a lady right in front of me farted. Loudly.
How about that?
And I've grabbed a magazine off the rack like this. What makes you think you can wear a mask, but you can stand there and fart?
So now, you know, instead of coughing to hide a fart, now you got a fart to hide a cough in COVID.
We knew this was here, was backwards.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, that actually happened. Happy Friday, everybody. And around here, that means Flame Tech Football Friday. We're coming at you live from the bunker here in the sweatpants capital. And we're all smiles today. We're heading into the weekend. How you doing, Dupes?
Couldn't be better.
That's good. I can tell, right? By the look in your face. I can tell things couldn't be better. We had a great night last night, and it's going to be a great day today. And I'll tell you what, as we get to our Quick Six show topics here in a minute, I can tell you they are all 100% football. And I actually have more than the six. So there's a lot of things that you wouldn't think.
Okay.
A lot of NFL, of course. Sure. And as we look at our guest list for the program today, it includes football maven John Frenzy, Hall of Fame Rough Riders broadcaster John Lynch will be with us, John Frenzy, to break down week six in the NFL and give his NFL fantasy advice. Tory Gurley will be with us. Tory's tips presented by Wheaton Kia, which deserves another ring of the bell. It is the birthday of Greg Gilbertson, the manager, the guy running the show over there, Wheaton Kia. It's his birthday today.
Great.
And he sponsors both John Frenzy's appearances and Tory Gurley, and it happens to be Double G's birthday. So coming up, aces there. And I got some questions about the NFL. They're coming up in the Quick Six. A Canadian Football League icon is going to be with us here in the bunker. A Rough Riders Hall of Famer, Steve Mazurek, will be joining us here. The infamous Maz. He's an icon. There's no doubt, and you know that. We've teased a lot of folks with a CFLPA football island concept. Dropped it yesterday on our Instagram. Nobody knows anything about it, but Maz is behind it. I got a role in this. He'll explain it. So he's coming up in hour one. And Jeff Reinbold, the great Jeff Reinbold, mahalo from Hawaii, will be joining us from the island in hour two. Doesn't that all sound great?
Oh, yeah. That sounds awesome. It's going to be a great show. I mean, Jeff Reinbold is as cool as they come, right?
He really is.
Yeah.
He's everything that the CFL needs, stands for, and we're excited to have him in hour two. And just, I got to put this out there for what I'm wearing. I know that our podcast listeners and our Listen Live listeners can't see it, but for those that can, this is the nicest jersey around, in my opinion. This is the Saskatchewan Rattlers, our local pro basketball team from the CEBL. They gave me this thing. It's the first time I've worn it on the air. I love the logo. I think the name of the snake is Hiss.
It's good.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
You got some Rattlers gear too, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't wait for a cold day. It's dipped below 0 Celsius today. It's nice and cozy today.
Oh,
just a shout out. Thank you to the Rattlers. Okay. Quick six show topics. Let's roll, Jordan, if you don't mind. Director Jordan, who's still glowing from the steak supper last night that we enjoyed at Deer Valley Golf and Estates for our sponsors' appreciation night. Had some staff out there, too. Thanks, Jordan. Number one, Le'Veon Bell to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to roll through these and then come back. Number two, week six NFL big games. That's our poll question today. Which is the biggest game in the NFL this week? We'll come back on that. Point three, are the Browns for real? Normally, I wouldn't care, but I care because of my friend Chris Jones. Boy, he's turned them around, hasn't he? Kevin Stefanski is what looks like the reason they've turned around.
He really is. But coincidentally, this has all happened since Chris Jones arrived. It's just the timelines.
They match up.
Coincidence?
Exactly. Point four, a CFL return to play update. I'll probably get into that a little bit later. So I will just say this. While Edmonton was looked at as a bubble city for 2021, that is the truth. That is now off the table. If they play in the CFL in 2021, it'll be with crowds. To what size, we're not entirely sure, but they're planning to play. It was virtually guaranteed to me. So there's your hot pocket, hot take right in the start, and we'll get into it a little later on. Point five, here's an interesting one that Reinbold might have some thoughts on this. There's more Canadians playing in the National Football League and NCAA now than there has ever been. We all know that, right? And it kind of hurts the CFL, and that if they get enough years in the NFL, they aren't going to come back to Canada at the end of their career like they used to do. there's got to be a way that the CFL can capitalize on this. Like, you would think it's really tremendously good news that there's more Canadians than ever playing high-level football, right? Shouldn't that be great for the CFL?
It should be. It should be awesome. But unfortunately, the league and the teams, they don't see any benefit in marketing that, in marketing great Canadian players in NCAA football or in marketing great Canadian players in the NFL. When, in fact, all of football, and I hope this is part of the summit that Jim Mullen's putting together with, you know, Football Canada, is that we need to promote Canadians at all levels, even if they're never going to come back here and their families are never going to buy a ticket in the CFL. But it's going to start to get the next group of Canadian kids excited about playing football. The kid on the street saying, I can be Chase Claypool, or I can be this guy, or I can be that guy. And I think that's tremendously exciting. More Canadians playing football means more Canadian football fans.
Well, that is the big pinch the Riders are in, or the CFL is in at a macro level. Micro level, the CFL on the weekend was retweeting highlights of Chase Claypool lighting it up with four touchdowns for the Steelers. And I had a CFL player, I'm not going to say what team, DM me and say, Rod, do you think it's right that the CFL is promoting this NFL, these highlights? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know the right answer to that. So you're saying they need to highlight it. And here's a player saying, why are we highlighting the NFL? Football's football, right? Mm-hmm. Are we in a competition or not? And that's why I think NFL Canada would be the solve all these problems. It really would. But anyways, we'll come back on that. And then point six, did we put this up? I think Clark Hags, it's CFL Sim Game Day. Canada's game of the week tonight. I'm excited about it. Look at it, folks. Nick Arbuckle's return to McMahon Stadium to face Bo Levi Mitchell tonight, 7 p.m. Mountain on the Rod Peterson Show Facebook channel. You and I will be calling the game. First time ever in CFL history, there will be a magician performing at halftime.
We got it done.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Oh, man.
Good job, Clark.
Great job.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we talked about it. We said we should bring him on for halftime and do a little show. And
a magic act at halftime of Friday Night Football. I absolutely cannot wait for the game tonight. And just imagine, we got a friend in here from Kananaskis, Alberta, who is a Rider fan, right, T-Sac?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not afraid to admit it, but he lives in Kananaskis, and he said, hey, if there was CFL football, they'd be buzzing out there in the mountains, in the Rockies, but there isn't CFL football right now. But could you imagine week 19, Arbuckle's return? It would be a big deal.
Yeah.
So we have it for you tonight, virtually, on CFL Sim. I'm very much looking forward to the call tonight. So those are the quick six show topics. Rock star of the day. There will be a test at the end. You can vote on Twitter for our rock star of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions, which reminds me, they were coming in today, weren't they, for the live studio audience?
They were thinking about it, but they did have to get back too. So
to Saskatoon.
They might not have been able to.
Okay. So yesterday's rock star was Tim McAuliffe from Tim and Sid. He was amazing. His interview made headlines at 3downnation.com mm-hmm. for what he said, extolling the virtues of the Canadian Football League. Today, you can vote for one of John Frenzy, Tory Gurley, Steve Mazurek, or Jeff Reinbold. And then, Football Island. I just love it. I just love the sound of it. Well, I came up with it, but it kind of stole it from Fight Island.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to drop a tidbit on this. It's Maz's baby, okay? Steve Mazurek, Hall of Fame Rough Rider. I believe it was the Players Association he ran for a number of years upon his retirement as a player. Came back to the Rough Riders as their marketing and sales guy during the decade of decadence. And Steve Mazurek is a big deal. And he came to me with this concept of a CFL All-Stars weekend. And I don't want to get let too much out of the bag because it's Maz's thing. Like, he literally had it all planned out. And I said, what do you need me for, Maz? Sounds like you have it all figured out. And he goes, well, you can reach the masses. Okay, I said, I can do that. But it made for TV. We don't even know what network it's going to be on. But through the Players Association, is that enough? And then we'll let him tease it later?
Sure.
Or he maybe, because it's his thing.
Well, and it's only at its infancy, too. I mean, there's so much that's going to grow out of this. It's just, it's a wonderful idea, and I can't wait to get into his mind a little bit to see where, you know, what he's all kind of thinking about.
Connor, watching in Yorkton, he says, what time is the sim? It is 7 p.m. Mountain tonight. Jeff, the Stamps fan, like, holy Debbie Downer. He writes in this morning to our coffee session here and says, Arbuckle's return to McMahon wouldn't be that big. He wasn't around long enough to make a huge impact by our standard.
So what's exciting about the game, Jeff? Like, why buy a ticket? Like, that is part of the problem right there. Maybe because Arbuckle's been on this show and we know that he's a great guy, and it was a huge trade, him going to Ottawa in the offseason for the number one overall pick in the draft.
Not that big a deal.
Have I misread this? Like, thanks, Jeff. Wah, wah, wah. Where's Bryn's trombone? I'm sorry, I'm trying to build up a game for the CFL, and you're crapping all over it. Do you have that trombone? Oh, no, we don't, Jordan.
So I think he's suggesting that we shouldn't do the Calgary Stampeders game.
We like, put a holy game wet blanket. Okay, well, let's stop talking about the CFL, because it's not that big a deal. Let's go to the NFL. Thanks, Jeff. Le'Veon Bell to the Chiefs. I don't like it for one reason. What a message it sends to kids that you can stomp your feet. I don't want to be here. Walk out and go to the best team in the NFL. Not a very good message sent, is it?
No, it's not. I agree with you on that. And, you know, on the one hand, you don't need to upset the apple cart, right? And Kansas City's coming off a Super Bowl win. You know, you have a clear hierarchy there, right? With Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the leaders they have in that group. And now you bring in a star who could potentially be a distraction. But on the other side, you're getting a really good football player. Now, they've got a rookie at running back who's been really good. And I don't think that Le'Veon Bell, while he may come in and take a few carries away, I don't expect him to come in and split carries or take over the backfield. But he can run really good routes. He's really good catching the ball out of the backfield. And he's going to take some heat and make things a little bit more difficult for defenses who are trying to key on Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and these other weapons. Now you got to worry about a running back out of the backfield who might be able to light you up, you know, catching the football. I think this makes Kansas City a little bit more dangerous than they already were.
Well, and I did a little digging into it because I got a lot of things on my mind, as do you. Not the least, like last night, for instance, we had our sponsors appreciation deal. And again, thank you to Deer Valley for a fantastic meal out there, the chefs and the crew. And then we went and played ball. Not well. We got mollywopped in the slow pitch, Great Western Slow Pitch League at Ballers Rec Room. It was embarrassing.
I have an ERA of zero. But you need to know I pitched to our own team, right?
Here's the problem, by the way. The teams that we play against are getting sloshed all the time. And they're still kicking our ass. We're sober as a judge and we can't beat these guys. Hey, let's get these guys another pitcher over here at the next table. Then they go crush like seven home runs in a row. Like,
they're loose.
They're loose. No pressure. I think because producer Clark, he takes this really seriously. It bothers him when we don't all pull our weight and we lose at the end of the day. I think I'm going to have to leave my phone in my car.
Okay.
Because I'm on my phone.
We get distracted.
Kind of distracted. So, yeah, I'm not on top of the Le'Veon Bell thing. It broke while we were getting ready for the sponsor's supper. So I did look it up, and I forgot that Damian Williams had opted out. There's a lot of salary room there for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I get that Le'Veon Bell does not have a good reputation the way he left the Steelers and the Jets. And you're going to walk into the Super Bowl champions locker room? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. He comes at a high price, but they have the room because Damian Williams opted out. So, yeah, that's not as crazy as it sounds.
No, it's not. But, yeah, really curious to see what it does to that locker room. If there's ever any turbulence during the season, if they ever have any, you know, things going on, I'm interested to see what happens in the locker room.
Our VP of Sim Events, Nelson Hakowich, has written in, and he says 80% chance of snow in Calgary tonight. The sim could get interesting. Ah, it got real. We got weather.
And the foothills. I'm excited.
Tonight. Jeff's going to stay home under his blankie. We're going to be out braving the conditions of McMahon Stadium for Nick Arbuckle's return. The poll question today, by the way, which is the marquee game of week 6 in the National Football League? I'm not surprised at this. We put up 4 options. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. It's huge. Steelers have, that's a big division collision, right? In the black and blue division?
Oh, yeah.
That's one. Browns, Steelers. Packers, Buccaneers, of course. Arizona versus America's team. Monday Night Football in Jarrah's house.
and L.A. Rams at San Francisco. And running away with it on both Twitter and Facebook is the Aaron Rodgers-Tom Brady clash. Would that be? Well, I would have voted for the Cowboys game, but
I know that's going to be good. Really good. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Tom, one week he looks like he's the MVP. The next week they're having some troubles. They can't get it together. But that's, you know, they're coming from a losing culture in Tampa Bay. Like, they still have to, it's not going to get fixed overnight.
They act like it's going to, though.
Right, I know. And then in Green Bay, man, have they taken a massive step forward. And Aaron Rodgers is kind of flexing, like, what did he say? A down year for me is a career year for most quarterbacks. Like,
how can he get away with that? If Tom said that, he would be eviscerated.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers says that, and everybody's laughing and thinks it's the greatest thing ever. What's the difference between the two?
These two quarterbacks, I mean, neither one of them wants to lose this football game. They've been circling this game on the calendar. I'm excited.
Is that America's game of the week on Fox? Do we know that? Which one Fox has? Probably is. Do you know Lynch?
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
I think I'm free on Sunday.
Ooh.
I'll be watching it. So, but your team, the Tennessee Titans, didn't make our poll, but they're playing Sunday after playing Tuesday. That's a quick swing. And, you know, we didn't really get into it yesterday when I wanted to. The chip that is on the shoulder of the Titans seemed to be there before the COVID outbreak even arrived.
Right.
What are they so mad at the world for?
Well, we need to rethink the Titans a little bit, and we've just been hammered by this impression of a team that is just so average and ordinary, you know, from way back to the Jeff Fisher years, you know, through everything else that's happened into Mariota and all the different quarterbacks. But you just think of the Titans as 9-7, 9-7, 8-8,
right,
9-7, you know, in this division that's not very good. And, you know, Houston's just going to win the division, or Peyton Manning's going to win the division before that. And you just don't see the Titans as a sexy franchise. But all of a sudden,
that's why they're upset. That's their own fault.
Right, but all of a sudden you got a coach who's got a lot of charisma and, you know, is you know, doing a lot of great things. You got a quarterback who's, you know, contending to be an MVP of the league, and over the last, since he's been there, he's probably been one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL over that period. You've got, you know, the top running back in the league. Now you've got some exciting playmakers at receiver. They're trying to change the culture. Nobody's talking about the Titans as being a Super Bowl favorite or a Super Bowl contender. Because your thought is, well, this is just a 9-7 team. They're off to a good start, but it's just a 9-7 team.
It's about respect.
It's about,
I hate
it's
that.
About
these,
respect.
Guys, these guys, they disrespected us. God, I hate. They go prove it and shut up.
They did.
1 week?
Well, yes, 1 week.
How about every week?
But they have the playoff now experience. They have the wins over.
They're climbing the mountain.
Right?
Yeah. We're going to get into all of this with Tory Gurley next. Tory's tips for Wheaton Kia coming up. This has been the warm-up, and you're watching a Flame Tech Football Friday across North America on Game Plus TV Network. Also around the world on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
And it's a special Flame Tech Football Friday. Welcome back, everybody. It moves. The show moves. And just ahead of Tory Gurley, I just want to point out Greg Gilbertson is watching. He of Wheaton Kia Lynch. We were talking about him on the car ride up here. Not only does he sponsor John Frenzy's appearances, plus Tory's tips, but it's his birthday today over at Wheaton Kia. So happy birthday, Greg Gilbertson, who writes in and he says, that bunny hug is sweet. Just try to order, but they're not on the Rattlers website. Don't know what to tell you about that. Talk to the Rattlers about that. I love it, though. I think this is some of the nicest gear that you're going to find. Let's bring in Tory Gurley now, our NFL insider. We'll wind our way and weave our way through this as we bring in John Frenzy, too. Tory, happy Flame Tech Football Friday. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Good, good, good. Are you all set for week 6 in the National Football League?
We're ready to roll.
Okay, good. Number one question for you before we get into Tory's tips and your fantasy advice. Your former team, the Cleveland Browns, of which I know you're still very close, at 4-1, are they for real yet? I can't imagine how bonkers they're going in Cleveland with this team. It's the best start, I think, since 94.
Yeah, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, but excuse me, I got to sneeze. I thought I had to sneeze. You ever get that feeling where you feel like you got to sneeze and then
just talk
stops?
And let it rip.
Exactly. Well, I think it's fool's gold. Cleveland, whenever they play against talent or teams that aren't as talented as them, they go out and handle business. But when you need them to come through in a clutch, especially a divisional game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I just think it's the blemishes are going to show. And it's all about Baker Mayfield. If he was more consistent and if he could play situational football, then he would be someone I could back. But unfortunately, time and time again, man, this guy finds a way to just do silly things with the football, and that's just something you can't have when you're the quarterback. You can't have any boneheaded mistakes. So I will lean towards the side of the Pittsburgh Steelers because it is a divisional game, and they know how to get after them. But Cleveland is a talented team. They're extremely talented, but I think they are a quarterback away from being a real contender.
What about Beckham not playing too? I guess he's out for sure for this game.
Well, I don't think they've ruled him out. I just think due to the protocol, he has to sit out because he has an illness. He doesn't have COVID. He tested negative for that. So, they'll bring him back in probably Saturday or just let him, come in and play on Sunday. I'm quite sure there isn't a lot of stuff they're doing throughout the week where he's going to be out of the loop. So, we'll just have to see. Wait and see.
You know, Tori, you talk about Pittsburgh winning this one in your mind, and it's going to be at Heinz Field. But I wonder about the lack of fans, right? Like, if you watch the Sunday night game, which I'm sure you did, the Seahawks home to the Vikings, and they said if there was a crowd there, Mike Zimmer would have made a different call. He would have kicked the field goal, but there was no crowd, and so he elected to go for it on fourth and short, and they turned it over, and it cost them the game. Do you buy into that, that the lack of crowds is affecting what's going on the field and coaches' decisions?
Of course. I'm not going to say to the extent of Mike Zimmer and the Seattle Seahawks game, but just knowing how these games work, if you give Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger, someone that's been in their offense for many years, and they don't have to deal with crowd noise, they're going to pick you apart. I mean, these guys are just – it's like practice. But whenever you have simulated crowd noise – It's not consistent. It really doesn't show the impact that really happens in a game, because when you're the opposing team and you're on the road, and especially in a big game, like prime example, I would love the Buffalo Bills against the Kansas City Chiefs on a Monday night game. But with no crowd there, Patrick Mahomes has nothing to worry about. Now, if Patrick Mahomes is in a stadium with 80 or 90,000 fans, they're screaming their entire time. He's trying to get a check. Hey, Rod, I want you to run a slant. He has to scream it. Rod, slant. And Rod over there standing there with his palms in the air like, I can't hear you. That matters in football, especially when the game is on the line during a two-minute drill. And, I mean, we saw it with the Seattle Seahawks, even though the Seattle was the home team. But it just shows, like, whenever you don't have to worry about a crowd, you can communicate. That plays into the offensive hands. And it's hard for the defense. Whenever you make a big play, the crowd gets behind it. If it's a big tackle or a big hit, and when you don't have it, it's kind of hard to get, jumpstart yourself on the sideline. It's kind of dull. So that's why fans are so important to all sports. Because when you play little league football, you have your mom, your parents there, but it's nothing like when you get to play on a big stage and the adrenaline is running, and that's what it feels like, man. It just feels like a practice for these veteran quarterbacks.
Frenzy's got a few for you.
Okay, a big ESPG today, Tori. Packers and Tampa Bay should be a sensational football game. Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers. What more can you ask for?
Honestly, I don't think it's going to be a close game. The reason why I say that, I'm leaning on the Packers because – this isn't Tom Brady with the New England Patriots. This is Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Something that we see is the young core of receivers they have. These guys stay hurt. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they're always on the injury list, and they've been missing time and missing games. Same thing with Leonard Fournette. He's someone that you brought in hoping that you can, use him as a bell cow, but he's been hampered with injuries. And you have Tom Brady, who only has been in Tampa for 4 or 5 months. You know, just because you've been there, he really hasn't had an opportunity to really embrace his team and learn and understand, like, this is how things work. He's still learning, like, each and every day. Like, if he was with the New England Patriots, if it was the New England Patriots and Tom Brady going against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, I would have a totally different outlook on it. But with Tom Brady, even forgetting, like, it was 4th and 5 or 4th and 6 during the Chicago Bears, that just lets you know, like, he has a lot on his mind and a lot on his plate, and it's not going to happen overnight. It's one of those things. It's the maturation process. And I just, because they're America's game of the week, I think this game could get out of hand just by the consistency of how Green Bay has played. And Aaron Rodgers is rolling, man. This guy's out there. He's playing good ball. They have a run game, and man, on defense, when you have the Smith brothers, when you have Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, you have Amos, you have Alexander at corner, you have King, they match up extremely well against the Bucs, and I just don't see it being a good game.
Interestingly, Packers favored by just 1 point going into Raymond James Stadium for the game. Conversely, down in South Florida, Dolphins home to the Jets Sunday, Dolphins favored by 9. So I'll be interested to see if that point spread moves a little bit for the Packers' favor come Sunday. All right, Torrey, it is week 6. Torrey's tips are brought to you by Wheaton Kia. We ask everybody to follow along with Torrey's advice, and you very likely will win some money. What do you got for us this week?
All right, so this week in Torrey's tip, my quarterback, I'm going with Ryan Tannehill. He was in a standalone game this past Tuesday. You watched him against the Buffalo Bills, and this guy is really, really good. He's very underrated. I don't know why the Tennessee Titans don't get as much love, but literally the Titans and the Baltimore Ravens are almost the same team. I mean, they play the same way. They have the same philosophy. And the way he gets the ball out to his receivers and playmakers, and he's a threat on the ground to run the football, he's someone you can get at a great price at $5,900. I like Miles Gaskins, running back of the Miami Dolphins this week. I like Todd Gurley this week. Even though the Falcons are a bad football team, fantasy-wise, they get a lot of numbers. So it's good to get a guy like Todd Gurley because he can run and catch, and that's something you want. You want more bang for the buck. Tyler Boyd has become Joe Burrow's favorite target in Cincinnati. Goodbye, A.J. Green. Hello, Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd has got all the targets. He's making big plays. He's been in the end zone past few weeks, and I think it will only get better. And I'm going with the Canadian at my other receiver. And I'm not talking about in the CFL. I'm talking about Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers. This guy had his coming out party. The Steelers are going against the Browns, and currently the Browns' defensive backs, their secondary, has been horrible. They've given up a lot of fantasy yards, and if Chase Claypool want to parlay his performance from last week to this week, I think going against a Browns defense that's hampered is going to be a great job for him, where he can go out and have a big game. I love Kenny Galladay, 6'5", 240-pound receiver. He's another guy that can get after it. A lot of people are not talking about him because they're looking at the DK Metcalfs or maybe the Davante Adams of the world, but Kenny Galladay is another guy, great on value. And I'm loving Mark Andrews of the Baltimore Ravens this week. The reason why I'm loving Mark Andrews is that the Philadelphia Eagles, their secondary is even worse than Cleveland's. Like, anybody who watched that game this past week, they took turns going up and down the field scoring on each other. So having Lamar Jackson, I think this is a great bounce-back game for him to pad some stats. And I think Mark Andrews and J.K. Dobbins of the Baltimore Ravens, he's a running back. I think this is going to be a game for him to shake off some of the rust. Mark Ingram has been getting a lot of carries for the Ravens, but I think this is when you start implementing your younger players when you're going against inferior defenses. And I think them beating up on the Eagles would be a great coming out party for those guys. And last but not least, give me the New England Patriots defense. Bill Belichick has been off for 2 weeks. I think Cam Newton is going to be able to control the game. You also get your defensive player of the year back and Stephon Gilmore going against a sorry Denver Broncos team that's running through quarterbacks like the Cleveland Browns. So this is a great pick. This is a great week. Hopefully you guys can go out and make some money, and appreciate all the sponsors, and happy birthday to you, big fella.
There you go. Happy birthday, Double G, Greg Gilbertson at Wheaton Kia, bringing you Tori's tips. I just want to drop one in. Zach Nelson is watching in Calgary. He says, I'm watching the Rod Peterson Show at the YMCA in Calgary. You know, they love us out there, right, T-Sack? All the great CFL fans out there in the foothills. Frenzy, couple minutes left with Tori Gurley. The floor is yours. What do you want to know?
Well, I'm just interested in what's happening out there with Cleveland Browns. You don't think that they've turned the corner now and maybe you're going to be a real serious contender?
Not yet. It all falls on Baker Mayfield. What they do defensively, Myles Garrett is up for Defensive Player of the Year. This guy's been rolling. He's been a game wrecker, but literally it's on Baker. And if you watch this past week when they played the Indianapolis Colts, the game should have been a blowout. I watched Baker go out there and make some ill-advised throws and almost throw a pick six when they were up 3 points with the ball, and that's just something you can't do. But fortunately, they were playing against Phillip Rivers, and this guy's a turnover machine as well, and he throws a pick six, and Cleveland end up winning the game by double digits. So on paper, it looked like Cleveland handled business. But for anyone that sat out and watched that game, trust your eyes, and your eyes will let you know, like, Baker is not that guy. Even though he was the number one pick, he had a lot of hype around him coming from Oklahoma. He's just not a good NFL quarterback. He's not a franchise guy. He might be someone you can plug and play, but for you to get over that hump and to be a contender, it's just not him.
Outstanding analysis from Tori Gurley and some outstanding matchups here in week six. What's up for you, Tori? Are you traveling this weekend? What's happening?
No traveling. Just still getting ready for my podcast week. Champions Club has been out. It's on all major platforms. Great fantasy advice. I give you this right here is a screenshot of what I do, but on Champions Club, I really get into details about the strength and weaknesses of these different NFL teams because I try to make it easy for everyone to comprehend instead of just throwing out a whole bunch of stats because anyone can regurgitate stats, but to actually give you the meat and potatoes of how these teams are constructed, it's something I enjoy, and we've been doing a pretty good job. So make sure you guys check that out. That's Champions Club Podcast on all major platforms.
Yeah, and Tori's working with FanDuel, your leader in daily fantasy games. Tori, thanks. My best to Mrs. Gurley, of course, Kim, and we'll chat with you in a week.
You guys take care.
See you, Tori.
Former Browns, Packers wide receiver, Toronto Argonauts 2, Tori Gurley checking in from Hogtown, Week 6 NFL advice.
What a good analysis. Right?
Yes, he's the best. We come back, our Rough Riders icon, a CFL great with some very interesting things to talk about. It's a Flame Tech Football Friday. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to a Flame Tech Football Friday, everybody. And listen, if you are CFL fans, which that's why you're watching, you're going to love this. Steve Mazurek is an absolute icon in the Canadian Football League and the business world, too, I might add. CFL All-Star perennially 1973 to 1980. I go into lynch mode when I bring up those old times. Well, Frenzy called his games.
Yeah.
Like you guys go way back.
Yeah.
And Maz was sort of like, how
would you?
Yeah, I said,
you
know, how are we going to handle this?
That's right.
Maz says, Lynch, can I get into this? Yeah. He goes, how are we going to handle this? I said, don't overthink it. Clearly, that's not happening. Before I go down, Lynch, you tell your thoughts on Steve Mazurek. Before we get into Football Island, what do you remember about this guy? Because you called us, that was right in your sweet spot.
Great football player. Made big plays. That's why I loved him. Made the big plays when they had to be made. Canadian, of course. But he was a great football player. That's why I loved him. And a great guy, too. Even better guy. Really enjoyed him. And he was on the air.
So now I've got goosebumps.
Heady praise there. Praise.
Any time I wanted an area, any guest on the air, you'd come to the station, CKRM or CKJK, right at the game scene. It was great. Really enjoyed you. It was a tough time there some of those years. A great time the first year, of course, 70 or 96, but what the heck, eh?
76, heck? Yeah.
76, I was saying.
So, Maz, you know, CFL fans across the land know he played in the 70s, but he came back in part of the decade of decadence. You and Jim Hobson took this team to prominence, right? Won two Grey Cups together then, too. Would it be
26 years?
Is that what it is?
On, you know, in some way, shape, or form of the CFL. So, yeah, not many people can sort of, you know, brag about that and, you know, stand for that. So, yeah, 8 years playing and
came back to the Riders.
Came back to the Riders.
Well, they needed you and Jimmy. And I mean, it was great. We needed them then. We needed a salesman like you. I mean, what a guy to be the sales manager. You know sales inside out, and you know football inside out. So it was a pretty easy job, eh?
Pretty easy job. And that, you know, meant being tutored by George Reed, you know, going from playing and working for George Reed and the Players Association. Yeah. And then, getting the call, you know, from, you know, Jimmy Hobson to come back and be the executive VP with the Riders.
Best team.
So I've been on all sides of the ball, yeah. So it's been my life's passion for sure.
Well, it's important to point out your time with the CFL Players Association, because I think I just want to let it out of the bag now, because I put that photo of Football Island up on our Instagram and the players are going nuts. Wow. They're like, what is this? What's going on?
Palm trees. Like, what is that?
It was Maz's idea. I came up with the name, and people are very excited in the football community. And it, right now it's a concept, it's an idea. But over to you.
Yeah, a concept idea. You know, we all talk about relevance and in the CFL and keeping the brand alive and all of that. And I talked to a lot of people about the current situation, C-19, the upside down world. And I've had great conversations with Brian Ramsey about this, as well. And it just seems to me that, you know, the virtual world is wonderful, and that's great. It grabs the attention of a lot of young folks. But, I was getting dressed one day, and I was putting on this belt, and on that belt buckle was CFL All-Pro Countdown 1978. And, I thought about, that was a great time, when football was the golden years for sure in the CFL, I believe. But it was a time when things were fun, fun as well. And we as a group, we did an All-Pro Countdown, at least the Players Association did. And it was East versus West. It was all stars and skills competition, live, in your face, sweat, blood, sweat, and tears, mixed in with a whole lot of fun. And so I'm thinking, why not today to try and get something? Obviously, the season, contracted or not, this is not going to happen. Didn't happen. But maybe there's an opportunity to get in the face of fans again in a live, relevant way. Engage with them, see our stars pitting their, pitting their all their pluses against others, be it one-on-ones or, sprints or, lifting weights and, 225 like we do in the combine, but put it on film, get back in the face of CFL fans. And so, I've been sort of pitching and chatting away about a skills competition, and that's trying to, a made for tea skills competition, produced, packaged, and
aired.
Bring something to us in January and February in lead up to what will hopefully be a great 21 season.
Well, it is funny because before you got here, apparently you were in the lobby. I didn't know.
I was in the lobby.
But the 70s were awesome. But it's 2020 now. It was your concept of microchip footballs where we could legitimately get a speed and accuracy. But to take the technology of now with those skills from the past, man, it's a win.
It is a win. And, those conversations come from conversations I've had with people that, my colleagues over the last 10, 15 years. Sitting down with, my good friend and football producer and skills guy extraordinaire, Bill Wright with Rough Riders. And so we're talking about how we somehow go to an island, go to a hub city. How does that look? What does that look like? How much does that cost? And so it's guys that are a whole lot smarter than me that say, with technology, with Zoom, with, the virtual nature, there's cameras everywhere. And so if you can't get stars that are residing in the United States right now, you can bring that competition, that level of competition, to the screen through your iPhone, through cameras such as what you've got here. And so the fact that Island is great, a hub is great, but sometimes there are obstacles in getting people in the right place, but that can be overcome. And so when you talk about different aspects of the game that we never had way back in the 70s, and that's measuring a hit, measuring velocity, chipping a helmet, chipping a football, chipping a you know, a blocking bag. And so all of a sudden, all those things that people crave for during an NHL All-Star game, NBA basketball game where they're doing the, you know,
yeah, they love dunk, it.
They absolutely
they
love it.
It.
And so I really think that this is something that, you know, I hope, you know, the CFL embraces something like this. Maybe they're already talking about it, in which case, great. I haven't heard a whole lot, and so I'm chatting about it. Roddy, you're always talking about it. You're a great fan of the CFL. Frenzy, you got Frenzy here to just, you know, prompt you. I hope those types of ideas are on the table, and I really hope the CFL, mixed with the CFLPA, mixed with TSN or others, put a package together so our fans can see blood, sweat, and tears. Is that a long answer or what?
No, it's glad.
What a breath, man.
Sorry, Lynch, what do you think, Lynch?
I think it's fantastic. I see if they're, NFL player, or CFL players island. I mean, I think that'd be fantastic. Really fantastic. I hope you do it, guys. I hope it isn't all talk and no action.
No, it's not.
I'll start hounding you, you know that.
To get it done. That's good. So you got to have a fire under your butt, right, to keep you going. John in Edmonton's watching, and he says,
I think it'd be great, Steve.
Do a CFL All-Star Game and Skills Competition every year. Doesn't have to be during the Grey Cup and hosted in a different city every year. If the NHL can do one, why can't the CFL? And I agree. And TSN's the first network that you think about, but maybe it's not TSN. Look at the channel that we're on right now, Game Plus Network. It's all about gaming.
You know
they'd be excited.
You know, Roddy, I told you the story about some of the fun things you can do. You know, I'll never forget sitting down with Dieter Brock, you know, Winnipeg, great. LA Rams, and listening to that jabber between Ron Lancaster and Dieter Brock, and it was actually Ron Lancaster who taught Dieter how to read defenses the way
wow.
he should be reading defenses. And because up until that time, and Dieter had a few years under his belt, and he just pitched the ball because he was so damn strong, he could put the ball anywhere and throw into defenses, into triple coverage, double coverage. And it wasn't until I listened to that and I saw that dynamic of Ron Lancaster, Dieter Brock, and then Dieter's career just went to the moon, and then he ends up in L.A. But part of the fun competition, and I told you about that, we were looking for, you know, an arm wrestling representatives from, you know, from the West. We had a lightweight, we had a middleweight, but we didn't have a real good heavyweight. And so we went to Dieter Brock, our quarterback.
Yeah.
He's 5'11 on his tiptoes.
Tough guy.
But strong. And we said, Dieter, you got to be a representative for the heavyweight. And he says, Mass, I'll break my elbow if I do arm wrestling with a heavyweight. And we talked to him and talked to him and talked to him. And he said, yeah, I'll do it for 20 seconds. And so at about 14, 15 seconds, he realized that this was his. And he just put him down. And it was just jubilation. It was
fun. It would have gone nuts.
But you know what? Fun stuff like that. And people talk about All-Star games. I'll never forget another conversation we had with Warren Moon. Warren had just been drafted to go back, to the States, play in the World Football or NFL.
Or didn't he go straight to Houston?
Straight to Houston.
Yeah.
And so this is in the offseason, and we call Warren to play in the CFL All-Star game. And he said, guys, wow, I got everything to lose and nothing to gain. I could twist my ankle. So we convinced him to come up and play a little bit. And he came up, played a full half, tucked the ball, ran, threw everywhere, and did it all. But that's what's all the CFL is all about. That kind of passion, that kind of belief, that kind of respect that those folks have for the CFL game. And they'll do whatever it takes for their fellow players. For the association.
And that's why he came up, right?
And that's why he came up.
Yeah.
And getting those guys together. So it would be a great flashback, great interviews, I think. But maybe the heck with the 70s. Let's get current. But anyways, it's a dream. It's a lot of fun. And it's just nice being in your studio, Ryan.
Finally.
I'm not screaming.
Yeah, no, Lynch is. Bruce Simpson from Edmonton. Bruce is watching. You know Brucey. He says, great idea. And anything Maz is involved in will be a success. Better than the dark winter months. We're going to take a time out and come back with more viewer takeover because you haven't seen Maz, but there's a ton of questions coming in for you. So we'll do that. A CFL icon right here, a Hall of Famer, Steve Mazurek, and John Lynch. We'll be right back with the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to this show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Just ahead of Viewer Takeover, a quick sports update. Marcell Ozuna hit two home runs and an RBI double as the Atlanta Braves beat the Dodgers 10-2 at Globe Life Field in Arlington last night. Clayton Kershaw returned from back spasms and started strong before a six-run sixth inning ended his night and his team's hopes. He allowed seven hits and four earned runs in five-plus innings of work. Atlanta leads the NLCS 3-1. With the season on the line, Carlos Correa and the Houston Astros came through again in Game 5 of the ALCS. Facing elimination for the second straight game, Correa went deep in the bottom of the ninth as the Astros won 4-3 to cut Tampa Bay's lead to 3-2 in the best-of-seven series. And the New York Rangers agreed to two-year contracts with defenseman Tony DeAngelo and goalie Alexander Georgiev. DeAngelo's deal is worth $9.6 million U.S. The goalie's $4.85. And there will be no national championships in Canadian university sport this season. U Sports has canceled its 2021 national tournaments because of the COVID-19 pandemic. That affects men's and women's basketball, hockey, swimming, track and field, volleyball, and wrestling. The sports update is for Ballers Rec Room, where they are now booking company Christmas parties. We can handle your food and fun needs. Visit ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings to CFL icons in here, John Lynch and Steve Mazurek. And Maz, with the cancellation of the CFL season 2020, what's your take on it, how we're getting through it, and how it needs to survive this pandemic as a league?
I think it's, again, that's the marketing genius, you have the CFL and each individual team to make sure they stay relevant, you know, make sure that there's engagement with the fans. And that's why, you know, quite frankly, that I got involved earlier this year with Kirby Kazell and his Buzz Shout. I talked to Kirby. I knew about his platform on delivering live messaging. And I said, Kirby, now is the time. We got to get to the CFL and get to the players and get those players that have you want to keep their brand alive through that platform of sending out live wishes, birthday wishes, graduation wishes, retirement wishes, whatever that is. Much like In the United States.
Cameo. It's like Cameo. It's Canada's Cameo is what
Canada's
it is.
Canada's Cameo.
Buzz Shout.
Yeah. And you know what? That's, again, it's being relevant. A lot of football players, especially those players that are on the bubble, they've got a good social following. They need to be relevant. They need to be engaged. And so that's one platform they can do that. So that, combined with whatever individual teams are doing to get their players involved in the community still, and the Riders do a wonderful job with that. So it's that community effort in keeping the players on the street, in the face of the fans, because there's this insatiable appetite for that kind of engagement. And so whether it's a skills competition or Buzz Shout or Cameo or whatever that, they've got to be in the face of the fans.
Well, except that we got to get some money pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? Government doesn't want to help us. telephone number 3 of the Rough Riders.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't come to that. I know that the Rough Riders have got had a real good rainy day fund, and they're dipping into that strongly. So it's it is dire straits for a lot of franchises. There might indeed be, and I think every team is looking under, turning every page, looking under, in every corner for an idea to raise the much-needed funds. And there are so many people that are just giving their all. They're buying the tickets to the lotteries, and they're getting their name on the Grey Cup. So there's those kinds of initiatives are great. Hopefully people embrace them. But I think with that and on par with that is getting those faces in the community, getting involved in those kinds of things.
Would you mind, Maz, sticking a little bit into hour two? Do you mind? Because we haven't even got to the viewer questions yet.
I'm here.
Good. Yeah. So Steve Mazurek will stick with us. We're going to wave goodbye for our television network broadcast here for hour one until you can join us in hour two, keeping the party going on Facebook Live. Two CFL icons here with us. And another coming up, Jeff Reinbold of the Tiger Cats from Hawaii. We'll see you for the rest of you Monday at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on...
While there's smoke, there's fire. For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.